giving. All right? And before we start, let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, Lord, we just want to commit this sermon unto you, Lord. Father, we pray that God, you use this to touch hearts, to bless lives, Father, and that God, we will all be obedient to do what your word says, that God, we will be obedient child of God. Father, we pray that you use me, Father, to preach forth your word, Father, that you will speak forth your word through me, and that God, your word will touch hearts and lives, and will change lives too, Father, and will bless lives. Father, we commit everything to you, we ask and pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. There was once a rancher who wanted to borrow 50 grand to finance the expansion of his farm. Okay. Since we are talking about money, this is about money. He went to see a banker to get a loan. The banker said, "Sure, we can give you a loan. What collateral can you provide?" The rancher think and he replied, "I have 20 bulls." The banker took out his calculator, made some calculations and said, "Well, 20 bulls, that is enough collateral." And proceeded with the paperwork. The rancher got his money and continued with his farm's expansion. 6 months later, the rancher came back with a sack full of money, one big sack. And he told the banker, "Here is your 50 grand plus the interest." The banker was amazed and he's impressed. He asked the rancher, "Where do you keep your money? Don't you have a bank?" The rancher replied, "No." The banker, seizing the opportunity, asked, "Why don't you put all the money in our bank?" And the rancher replied, "Sure. How many bulls do you have?" Okay. Good. Now that I have your attention, I'm going to share a sensitive topic, okay, about giving. And why do some Christians balk at the mention of giving? And maybe deep inside, we are selfish and would rather spend all the money on ourselves. Maybe it is disagreement about how the money is being spent. And perhaps our greatest concern is our future, right? How can we make ends meet when the price of all our necessities keep increasing year after year? Am I right? Let's examine the Word of God, okay? And we seek God's principles about giving. And giving should be a joy, not a burden. You agree? Yes, amen. Okay, let's begin. The first question I think everybody would ask, why should we give God financially? Right? Why? And we give financially because God has given us everything. Amen? You may ask, what has God given me? What? First and foremost, God gave us salvation and eternal life through His Son Jesus. Right? And you can find that in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." Right? And Jesus died a horrible death on the cross for us. En route to the cross, He was falsely accused of blasphemy, flogged with a crown of thorns placed on His head. Try to envisage that, okay? Humiliated, ridiculed, and mocked mercilessly by the crowd who once revered Him. Right? And to truly understand what Christ went through, I would encourage you to watch that movie, The Passion of the Christ. Then you will be able to relate how Christ died, what he went through, the sufferings, the humiliation, the torture. Now, why does he have to die this way? He did it because he loved us. He understands our shame, our pain, humiliation, and the ridicule that we sometimes endure. And he has experienced all this firsthand. And he wants to redeem us from our sins and to help us live an abundant life. Okay? And what does the scripture say? John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what Jesus says. He come that we may have abundant life. Okay? And Jesus encouraged us to ask. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. This can be found in John chapter 16, verse 24. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Jesus encouraged us to ask. Well, many will challenge this verse and saying, I prayed very hard, asking God to provide for me. And I never received what I asked for. Well, I don't have a definitive answer. I am sure God provides in accordance to his will, not ours. God is sovereign. And it's not our genie in the lamp. We rub three times and say, God, grant me these wishes. I want a Ferrari. Doesn't work that way. His ways are higher than ours. We do not see the big picture. Or perhaps there are times that we ask with a selfish motive. And that can be found in James chapter 4, verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive. Because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Okay? And search our hearts whenever we ask and see what our motives are. And God has given us the abilities to make a living. We must remember this, lest we become arrogant and declare that we did it all because we are smart. We are diligent. And that can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 to 18. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. That is arrogance, okay? But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirm his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. It is God who gave us that ability. So remember that. Okay? And we give financially because we give as an expression of our love to God. I'm sure all of you love your family, right? You will give your all to your family, right? When I mean your family, your children, your spouse, we give because we love God. And the same applies with God. God did not demand all our finances. He owns everything. And since he owns everything, we are just managers of his resources. We give financially as an expression of our love towards God. Now, let's examine Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. about the widow's offering. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly, I say to you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she gave out of poverty, put in all that she had to live on." Why did the widow give her all? I believe she gave as an expression of her love towards God. She gave believing that God will provide for all her needs. Amen? Otherwise, she wouldn't give everything that she has to live on. And next, we give financially towards the expansion of God's kingdom. Our financial giving allows pastors to work full-time, teaching and sowing the word of God. And our giving support missionaries in sowing the word of God worldwide. Well, you have Tim sharing about his mission, right? Daniel shared about her mission last week, right? So when we give towards the expansion of God. And from Tim sharing and Danielle sharing, we can see that God moves when we give, and God touches hearts of the people whom we give to. Amen? Yes. And next, do you enjoy worshiping here and in Nikkei? Yes? Well, our giving provides for a comfortable place of worship. Right? That's why we give. So we also benefit from it. Our giving support community and outreach. Bibles, tracts, handouts requires funding. The same applies towards the renting of place for outreach and refreshments. Like, for instance, our Chinese ministry that we started a few years ago, whereby many gave their hearts to Christ as a result of our giving. Amen? So our giving expands the kingdom of God, right? Our giving helps others in need. For example, the homeless, the poor, orphans, the widows. When we give to Samaritan's Purse, Union Gospel Mission, we participate in the Christmas shoebox. That is another form of giving. And God uses that to bless lives, to touch hearts. And as a church, besides being involved in local outreach and evangelism, Agape Church also gives to BC Coast and Island District and the ACOP, Calgary headquarters, to help support church planting work throughout Canada, local missions and overseas missions throughout the world. We, too, as a church, participate in giving for outreach so that God's kingdom can be expanded. And we give financially because God blesses us when we give. You like that? Amen. You like that, right? God blesses us so that we can use our wealth to bless others. We should not be selfish and hoard everything, all our wealth, for our own pleasures. Bear in mind that not all of God's blessings are financial. Okay? Don't think about God's blessings as just financial money alone. Example, good health is priceless. I'm sure you heard of a lot of people suffering from cancer, from this, from that, some illnesses that you've never heard of. But good health is priceless, and that is one form of God's blessings. And a peace of mind is also priceless. If you can sleep well every night, and you sleep soundly like a baby, that is God's blessings. Amen? Right? So, think about that, all right? Don't think about money all the time. So, let's examine the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 to 11. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Amen. And Malachi, this is a very very popular quoted phrase, okay, when you talk about giving. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God challenged us to give. Okay? Now, let's move on to the next point. This is an interesting one. How much should we give God financially? How much? In the New Testament, the Bible is silent about how much to give. Okay. There's no mention of any amount. Let's turn to the Old Testament. The Old Testament was also written to teach us and thoroughly equip us for every good work. Hence, a sound source of reference. And let's look at the scriptures, all right? What does the scripture say about teaching us and equipping us? In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for everything was written in the past, was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Okay. Hope in God as we give. All scriptures is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are the servants of God. Okay, so this is what the Lord say about the scripture. Now, let's examine what the Old Testament say about giving. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. And two verses down, Leviticus 27, verse 32. Every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. Okay? Malachi, again, chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be enough room to store it. It talks about tithe. It talks about tenth. So what is a tithe? A tithe literally means tenth part. Okay. Based on the scriptures that we have looked at just now, it literally means a tenth of your labor and earnings. In today's context, it means 10% of your income. And this brings us to the next question. 10% of gross or net income? I'm sure you guys will be asking this. 10% of gross or net? Okay. I'll answer that later. Gross. Someone says gross. Okay. Since we are on this topic, right? How many of you say gross? How many of you say net? No sitting on the fence. Okay. No sitting on the fence. Okay. And remember, when you tithe, when you give, the priority is always the church that you're worshiping in, which is here, Agape Church Burnaby. Okay. And next, when we give, how should our attitude be? Right. When we give, how should our attitude be? God deserves and expects us to give Him first before anything else. When we get our paychecks, the first thing we should do is to allocate and take out what we are going to give to God. And we live on whatever that's left. If we do it the other way around, okay, vice versa, then we cheat God. We rob God. Okay. And let's look at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9, verse 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And God expects us to give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6, verses 6 to 7. But generosity is really encouraged. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? And God expects us to give regularly and in accordance with our income. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 2. Now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian church to do. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. Okay, and I like to refer to scriptures because this is not my word. This is the word of God. So, what should our attitude be when we give? Cheerful. Smile as you give. When you put into the offering box or the offering bag, put it in with a smile, with a cheerful heart. Don't give. That's not what God wants us to do, right? So give and don't hold back. Next, what happens if we don't give faithfully to God? What happens? Again, I refer to Malachi, but this time it's from chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Okay. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offering, you are under a curse. Your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithes into the storehouse, that they may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be enough room to store it. Now, the scripture says we rob God and we are under a curse. This is taken from NIV. Who has a different version? We want to see whether they are consistent. Who has a different version? ESV, NASB. Anyone? Take out your handphones. Flick to that verse. Malachi chapter 3, verses 9. Verses 8 and 9, where it talks about you are robbing God and you are under a curse. ESV is robbing God. Will a man rob God? Any other versions? You guys can go back and take a look at the scriptures. All right, you can Google the different versions. All right. And of course, when we rob God, we are under a curse and God punishes us for stealing from Him. And the worst thing is, we not only rob God, we rob ourselves too. We rob ourselves. Because we shortchange ourselves with all the blessings that we could have received from God. Think about that. Now that's what I call a win-win situation. Okay? We shortchange ourselves of all the blessings that we could have received from God. Now, in conclusion, I really want to encourage all of us to give financially and test God. Because God offered a challenge. He said, test me and see, in Malachi. So, if you have never given financially to God, now is the time to test God. We want to test His word and see whether it is true. Okay? And I challenge you all to give 10% of your income. Okay? 10% of your income for this month. Do it for 1 month. And see how God is going to bless you or work through you. Just 1 month. Give it a try. Test God. And say, God, this is your word. I am going to see how you're going to work when I give. And when God blesses your tithe and multiply your income, we welcome your testimony to come up here and share in the weeks to come. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. We thank God for that. Okay. Test God. All right. And as we approach towards Easter, remember what Christ has done. And as we give, we test God as well. Should you tithe 10% of gross on that? Well, I've already seek your opinion, right? For me, this is me, okay? Not God. This is me. I believe that God will bless your gross when you tithe gross and your net when you tithe net. So you want to tithe net or you want to tithe gross? Which do you want? Okay, let me rephrase that question. You want God to bless you gross or net? Gross, yes. You want God to bless your gross, right? So how should you tithe? Depends on how you want God to bless you. Yes. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. That's a good one. That is a good one. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Right. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Very good, Daddy. Very good. That is a good one. Okay. And I really like what Luke says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured onto your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Amen? All right? Think about how this relates to the gross and the net. Okay? And remember, God's mathematics and God's equation is different. It's really, really different. All right? From the world and from man's. His 90%, or rather our 90%, is more than the 100% that we hold on to. You agree? Right? We can actually do more with the 90% than with the 100% that we hold on. And our God, He is a generous giver. He gave His all to us. He gave Christ to us as we reflect upon Easter. Right? Now let us all honor and obey His word by tithing, giving back to God, and see what He's going to do in our lives. And He has promised He will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will be not room enough to store it or to hold it. Amen? For God loves a cheerful giver. So, let's give faithfully and let's give with a cheerful heart for God's glory. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, and Pastor, you have anything to add?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Chuck, for the word of God this morning. It's, you know, in my early 20s, I heard a message like this. And that time, I was earning not a lot of money. And I have to give almost half my salary, with a small salary, give half to my parents. And with that half, I have to pay for my, I'm still studying, and I have to pay for the school fees, I have to pay for everything. So I really was so tired. I can't make ends meet, but I heard the message. So how am I going to give, right? So, but then God say, give and test me, and I gave. And that was in my early 20s until now. God has never one day have not provided for us. And of course, I want to give glory to God again for, you know, when we sold all our business and use the money to go to seminary and serve God, we don't expect us to have a house, we don't expect us to have a car, and we just are prepared to live in poverty. Because pastors, we know, are not paid a lot. But thank God, to cut the story short, you know, same, pastors don't pay a lot compared to if we work outside, and we still give at least 10% when we're in Lynn Valley, give 10% when we're here. We give more than 10%, we give 30%, 40%. And on top of it, we still give whenever there are needs, we give by faith. And I'm not boasting about us giving, I'm boasting about God. You can never outgive God. And from the home that God help us to buy the leftover money that we can put down for down payment for our house, apartment that is 1,200 square feet. And it was too small for us to have leadership meeting and everything back in Dean Valley. So we decided, God, we are going to buy a bigger house by faith. You lead us, and we want to buy we buy an old house that is big. Because with the new town home, the money maybe can buy old house, very, very old house that is big enough for meetings. And God led us to a house that is 2 years old. And God said, this is a house I'm going to bless you with. And my father-in-law, without us asking him to give us money, father-in-law gave us $100,000. And we bought the house, and the house has a basement suite. And then, because we moved to Burnaby to plant a church, the house we sold for $300,000 more. The first town home we sold for $130,000 more. We sold it. We bought the house. The house sold for $320,000 more. And then we bought the house. We moved here to plant a church. And this house we sold for two and a half times more. From $700,000, we sold for $1.9 million almost. And with that, you know, we can never outgive God. And now the house that we live in, every time we step inside, we say, God, we never expect this, you know. And what is your purpose of giving us this big house? You know, so I do not know. God said, this is house, buy this one. And we told Aaron, just give them whatever they want. And we got the house. And, you know, it's not because we want a big house. It's not because we want a nice car. God is the one who never ceases blessing. We are prepared to live in poverty when we say, God, even Timbuktu, we are willing to go to serve you. But God has so abundantly blessed us. So I'm sure many of you have testimonies to share. And I think we want to, maybe every Sunday, if somebody before the collecting of tithes and offerings, somebody has a testimony to give glory to God, not because boasting about what we have, but boast about how generous God is. You know, how faithful he is as we tithe. You know, we are, God said, test me. And we tested God since my 20 over years old. Now, I think 35 years I've been testing God, and God has never failed to provide.